What about the triple negative tumors?
So for these tumors, obviously, we don't have a targeted agent to bring to their treatment. So the work that's going on with them has been focusing on optimizing chemotherapy, and there are trials that are looking at adding products like capecitabine or platinum-based chemotherapy to these patients. And additionally, there is interest in other biological approaches, and probably the one that's most far along has been interest in adding bevacizumab to these patients. In ECOG 2100, it looks like the ER-negative, HER2-negative patients did quite handsomely with paclitaxel plus bevacizumab. And so that is a very reasonable patient population to try and optimize chemotherapy and optimize other biological approaches.
Out of curiosity, in general, how would you think through a case of a woman with extensive symptomatic, poor performance status, visceral, metastatic disease, triple negative, who's never had chemotherapy, either presents that way for whatever reason? How would you think through optimal therapy for a patient like that?
Well, obviously, you're going to give her chemotherapy, and I most frequently give patients like that paclitaxel plus bevacizumab. I find the data pretty compelling from ECOG 2100 that we can do better than just chemotherapy alone by adding bevacizumab treatment. I like the idea of bringing a relatively exciting biological therapy in. The other point is that there are relatively few women who walk in the door who are chemo-naive at that point.
Sure.
In fact, most of those women have had adjuvant chemotherapy.
Sure.
And have a tumor that's, you know, fairly resistant to chemotherapy. And that further encourages me at least to think about a novel biological approach.
Sure. It's just more of a mental exercise to tease out what I thought I've been hearing more and more from investigators, because obviously, whatever, 2 years ago or pre-ASCO 2005, my guess would be you would not have given that patient paclitaxel alone.
Well, we would have.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, this is the conundrum of concurrent versus sequential chemotherapy.
Yeah, well, see, but it's the old, you know, trying to get you guys to give combination by saying
right.
You have somebody who's super sick.
So
I recently reread
all these papers and wrote a review, because we were writing a review for Hematology Oncology Clinics of North America that Andy Seidman, I think, is the editor for. And it turns out in the 1960s, as soon as they started using chemotherapy to treat metastatic breast cancer, there are these opinion papers being written. Should you use combination chemotherapy or should you use single-agent sequential chemotherapy? And it's good to know that now, 45 years later, we're still arguing the same points. The trials that have carefully built in planned crossover with use of single-agent chemotherapy have always shown equivalent survival to trials that use combination chemotherapy, again, if you plan the crossover. If you don't plan the crossover, if you look at the registration-type studies of, you know, chemotherapy A versus chemotherapy A plus B, designed to show bioactivity of chemotherapy combination B, those studies often show advantage for combination chemotherapy, but those aren't studies designed to test a strategy question. They're designed to show activity of B, and that's okay, but that doesn't mean you have to use B in that way.
Okay, well, it's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we used to talk about that all the time, but since all the new stuff came out,
we used to talk about it all the time, and they have been for 45 years. Back then, you were doing this on Super 8.
Yeah, like, right, 8-track.
Exactly.
Okay, so